been a joy to be here this week. I know you feel that way. I look out, I feel like I'm in Tobraska. But turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And then you might also put your finger in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be returning to that over and over again. It is the closest thing to heaven. Each preacher that's been here this week is a friend of mine, and all the speakers are people that have shown personal kindness to me and others. And we love the church members that are here, and one day we'll begin a worship service like this and it'll never end. But they all end here below. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit who has come to exalt Him. And Father, we know that we have a good request when we ask that by Your Spirit You might lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Benefit our hearts by making Christ all in all to us. Forgive us of our sin, cleanse us through the Word, instruct our understanding, and meet with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, our Lord said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." If you have an apple tree, there's always one apple that gets ripe before the rest of them. And so Christ is the first fruits. And it says in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." There is a resurrection of the body. That needs to be a reality to us. If you could go to heaven this morning or this afternoon, you would see the man, Christ Jesus. Let that soak in. The one that walked the Sea of Galilee, the one that did miracles, the one that laid in Bethlehem's manger, you would see the man, Christ Jesus. You say, "Well, He's God." Yes, He is God. He's all God and all man. But the one that you would see is the one that came up out of the tomb. At the great white throne judgment, when you look upon that white throne, you will see seated the man, Christ Jesus. Just as you see me, a man. He is the God-man, true, but you will see a man. In other words, in heaven is our risen Lord. Years ago, I had a church member. He was kind of a fellow that bounced around, and he bounced in with us a while and bounced back out and been bouncing ever since. But he came to me and he said, "Brother Ron, I hear you preach something that I've never heard before. I don't know if I believe it or not." And I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, I always heard you die and you go to heaven. Christians go to heaven. But you preach that there's a resurrection of the body." And I thought, "Man, you've been in every church in northern Kentucky. What, are you never heard of the resurrection of the body?" And so I thought, I'm going to start paying attention and see what's going on. Well, it wasn't long till a beautiful young lady was killed in a car wreck, and my daughters knew her. And I went to the funeral, and this Baptist pastor who had pastored for years, pastored a large church, he was preaching her funeral, and he said about her, he called her name and he pointed to the casket where her body lay and he said, "Now that's not so-and-so. Everything that belongs to so-and-so is gone. And I thought, well, he'll straighten that up at the graveside. Said the same thing. I begin to understand where this fellow was coming from. There was an old philosopher named Plato. You've heard of him. He taught that everything that was physical was evil. And he did not believe in the resurrection of the body. The old Greeks spoke of the resurrection as the hope of a swine. The Sadducees were the educated and the high-class people of Israel, and they did not believe in the resurrection. A good way to remember that is they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. And that's kind of helps memory. The Greeks, of course, imbibed this, and that's where the Sadducees got it from. In Athens, when Paul went to preach, it says, and when they heard of the resurrection, some mocked, because they looked at it in that way. There was a church in Corinth. Corinth was a Greek city. And therefore, some of the Christians were infected by this heresy. And Paul said, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead? There were also errors concerning the resurrection. Paul mentions two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who said that the resurrection is past. Now, sadly, this false teaching has not been extinguished from the earth. There are still people that don't seem to believe in the resurrection of the body, that don't seem to understand the reality of what happens when you teach such a thing as that. I have heard ministers many times since then preach funerals and altogether confuse people about the hope of the resurrection. We have ministers that claim to believe in the resurrection. Some, however, say it's past. I never thought I would hear that among Baptists, but I've heard that. And teach other odd things, claim to believe in the resurrection, but don't really teach the doctrine of the resurrection. And so this is an important issue. First of all, it's important because to believe in the resurrection is necessary if we're going to hold a biblical view of man. There are some people who believe that this body is just an earth suit. They'll express it that way. And they think it's kind of like a suit that you'd wear into space, and when you're done, you take it off. And you live in this earth, and you have this body, and it's your earth suit, and when you die, you put it off, and all you need is your soul. The materialist believes, I heard a professor say one time, he said, you don't have a body, you are a body. No soul, your thoughts were nothing but chemical processes. But the Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This body is part of who I am. God took the dust of the earth and he created a man. And into that body he breathed the breath of life. Now, the resurrection is possible because there is such a thing as an intermediate state. The body cannot live without the soul, but the soul can live without the body. Now, that's never a permanent thing, but that is something that can temporarily take place. There is, for instance, among Christians, those that are translated and those that are resurrected. The Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Some Christians will be alive when Christ comes back. They will not die, so in that sense they will not be resurrected, but they'll be translated. They'll be glorified. There are others that will experience simple resurrection, the unsaved. All men will be resurrected. Now, I'm going to tell you what the resurrection body of a Christian is like. You say, what is the resurrection body of an unsaved person like? I don't know. I just know it's their body raised back to life, not glorified, not translated, not like Christ, but raised back to life. Jesus Christ was 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. During that time, his body and soul were separated. But in the resurrection, they were rejoined. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And most Christians would like to be alive when Christ comes and skip death. For some reason, Charles Spurgeon said he'd rather die. That was just something that his Savior had done that he wanted to understand. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or them which have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's a wonderful day. If you're alive when the Lord returns, you'll be caught up, but not until those that have gone into the grave have been caught up first. And we'll both be translated into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this intermediate state, this separation of the soul and the body, is always temporary. When the Bible describes the great white throne judgment, when it describes the judgment of the unsaved, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." This world is full of people who sleep beneath sea and sod. But it doesn't matter, in talking now about those that die without Christ, it doesn't matter if their body is in the bottom of the ocean, if it's in a grave, it doesn't matter. When they stand before God, they will stand before God body and soul. They will stand before God as God created them, not just a spirit. And so it's necessary that we have a biblical view of man. The body is not an earth suit. The body is part of who we are. It's also necessary to believe in the resurrection that we might have a biblical view of the gospel. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 12 through 18, Paul says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished." What's the first thing I said to that man when he said, "I don't know if I believe in the resurrection of the body. I think perhaps when you die, you just go to heaven and that's it." I said, "Have you ever heard of Calvary? Have you ever heard of the tomb? Have you ever heard it's empty? If there be no resurrection, then is Christ not raised?" No one would want to deny that, but when you deny the resurrection of your body, you're denying that. And so, it is necessary for a biblical view of the gospel. It's necessary for a biblical view of salvation. I noticed this morning, and it's very interesting, that we've had the physical aspect, the spiritual aspect of salvation, the legal aspect of salvation, and the physical aspect of salvation. Salvation contains all three of those aspects. Now, let me quote a scripture for you. Two scriptures, in fact. Romans 8:29-30. This is the five-link eternal plan of God in the salvation of His people. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The foreknowledge of God towards His people is His intimate love towards them. Now, when you love somebody, you always form a plan. And so God loved us, and He determined to make us like Christ. Now, once you form that plan, you go about carrying it out. Now, notice, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That's the spiritual part of salvation. Called from darkness to light. Called from death to life. Called out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Whom He called, them He justified. That's the legal part of salvation. Raised for our justification. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the wages of our sin. If He were still dead, there would be no evidence that they were paid. You say, what is the resurrection? That is a paid in full. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And that is the physical part of salvation. Romans 8 and verse 3 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so in salvation, we are made new. We are justified. And in glorification, we receive the redemption of the body. Let me go on to say that the doctrine of the resurrection is necessary for a biblical view of the Christian life. Listen to this statement of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, when we hear the word manners, we think of sticking your pinky out when you drink tea. Manners is mode of life. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What are the evil communications? That's the heresy that there was no resurrection. And evil communications do what? They corrupt good manners. And what are good manners? The mode of life. False doctrine always leads to impure life. You know, you get around people that don't believe in the resurrection of the body, and they don't take the body serious. There were people in Corinth that had the idea that immorality was all right. Why? Because the body doesn't matter. It's just a function of the body. But when we see that the body was created by God and it's part of who we are, do you notice that as our nation drifts away from God, that cremation becomes more and more popular? Why do we bury folks? Because this body is part of who they are. And because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And God took time to take the body of Moses and bury it, and our Lord was buried. And we lay these bodies away in hope of a glorious resurrection. They're not just earth suits to be disposed of. They're part of who we are. And so a biblical view of the Christian life, after Paul talks to the Thessalonians about the resurrection, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What a wonderful comfort it is to know that we will be raised. This brings us to the nature of the resurrection body. You say, Brother Ron, what can you tell us about the nature of the resurrection body? Well, there's two things. First of all, I can tell you concerning the nature of the resurrection body that it's the same body as this body. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, when Jesus Christ died, He was laid in the tomb. When He was resurrected, the tomb was empty. Why was the tomb empty? Because it was the same body that was laid in the tomb that was raised. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, what did He say to Thomas? Behold my hands and my feet. Why were there wounds in the hands and the feet? Because the body that was raised was the same body that was put into the grave. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. In the book of the Revelation, speaking of the dead, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them. Why did God have to go into the sea to get the bodies of those unsaved men that would be judged? Because that's where they were. And it was the same body. When we think of the miracles of Christ, whose body was it that came out of the tomb there in Bethany? It was the body of Lazarus, the same body that they placed there. When Christ saw the widow of Nain and He touched the funeral bier and the young man arose, what body was that? The same body that had died. And so it is the same body. That's why Christ ate the honeycomb and the fish. That's why He showed them the wounds in His hand and the wounds in His side, that they might know that this is the one that was crucified on Calvary's cross. This is the one that was laid in the tomb. And He is risen. But now here's what seems to be a contradiction. It's not. But when we speak of the nature of the resurrection body, it's the same body, but it's different. Not a different body, but different than it was when it died. I'm speaking now of the body of the saved. Jesus said of those that have part in the resurrection that they'll not marry nor be given in marriage. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 35 it says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. You know, Paul is making this illustration. I take a little seed here, and I plant it in the ground. Now what pops up? A seed? No, a watermelon. I take a seed and I put it in the ground. What pops up? A little seed? No, a sunflower. And Paul is illustrating for us that even though what's put into the ground is what is raised up, it comes forth in a different form. And so he says this, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And he goes on to say in verse 53, so this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Listen, we hobble along till we get so weak we can't sustain life and we fall into the grave. And you get old and your hair falls out and your teeth fall out, and the older you get, the worse you look. I hate to say that, ladies. But time and gravity catches up with all of us. And it's sown in corruption. But thank God that's not the end. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. Lazarus' sister said, don't roll away the stone. He's been in there 4 days. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in mortality, but it's raised in immortality. And so it's different. You say, what is it like? It's like the body of Christ. We're talking again about the resurrection body of the saved. For as we have borne the image of the earthy. You say, earthy what? Earthy Adam. For as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Philippians 3 says, who shall change our vile bodies that they might be fashioned like unto the image of His glorious body? 1 John 3:2 says, for we know not when He shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Spurgeon liked to write authors and request a signed picture, and he would then put that into the book that he had that had been authored by them. He wrote Andrew Bonar, the famous Scotch preacher. He said, "I'd like to have your autographed picture to go with your book." And Mr. Bonar sent it back. He said, "I'm glad to give you a picture, but if you'd have waited a while, it'd really been worth having. For we shall be like him." The certainty of the resurrection. You say, "Brother Ron, is it certain?" "We know not when he shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." It's sure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The Bible says, "Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." When God saves a person, He places the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit is the seal. In other words, the day of redemption is the day that we get the new and glorified bodies, and God has sealed you to that day. The Spirit of God is also called the earnest of our inheritance. An earnest is a down payment. I don't have a glorified body, but I've got the Holy Spirit. And that's God's promise to me, that I will be raised in His likeness. And you say, "When will this occur?" Well, the second coming of Christ is the blessed hope. And that's why we're looking for Christ to come. Not only we want to see Him, but we want the final part of our redemption. It's interesting how every part of our work, our salvation, has to do with Christ. The spiritual part, we're raised with Christ. The legal part, raised for our justification. And the physical part, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You say, "Brother Ron, what is the power that will bring about this?" Well, of course, it's the power of God, and it's interesting that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned as having part in our resurrection. I was talking to Brother Daniel about this morning. I don't know how to explain it. But the Bible mentions in particular the change that will take place in our body as coming about as a result of seeing Christ. Again, 1 John 3:2, "For we know not when He shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Why? "For we shall see Him as He is." In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord." You say, "Brother Ron, how were you justified?" Well, the Lord Jesus said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And I looked to Christ by faith, and I was justified. You say, "How are you sanctified?" By looking to Him, by reading the Word, by spending time in His presence. And the more we behold Christ in His Word, and the more we spend time with Him, the more we are like Him. And you say, "How will you receive the physical part of your salvation?" "We know not when He shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I don't understand that. Brother Daniel refused to explain it to me. But it's seeing Christ. And then I want to close with this, our desire. You say, "Why is it that you want the final redemption of the body, that you want this final aspect of salvation?" Well, Listen to this. Paul, after writing about the war that was going on in his own soul, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." You know, this morning I came to church and I had a little crick in my neck. You know, we talk about a crick in the neck. And I've been traveling too much and I have to exercise or my neck gets stiff. You say, "You'll be glad when you get a glorified body so you won't have a stiff neck, won't you?" You know, it's funny. It's not this stiff neck that bothers me. It's the stiff neck of my heart. You know, eight years ago I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. You say, "You'll be glad to get a glorified body." It's not the Parkinson's. It's not old Mr. Parkinson's. Brother Gardner always speaks about Mr. Parkinson's. It's not old Mr. Parkinson's that bothers me. It's old Mr. Adam. I mean, I'll be glad to get a new and glorified body, but I don't think about, you know, physical disease. I think about being like the Lord Jesus Christ. "I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." That's what troubles the people of God. That's why we look to Christ and we think of His coming as the blessed hope. Because we'll be like Him. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Why? Because when I do that, I'll be like Him. What a wonderful salvation. Salvation from the power of sin. Salvation from the penalty of sin. And salvation from the presence of sin. What bothers me is not the sin that's in the world, it's the sin that's in my heart. And the sin that's in this body of death. And one day, it'll be raised in the image and the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that will take place because of our risen Lord. He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." He was glorified, I'll be glorified. His tomb is empty, one day my tomb will be empty. He's exalted at the right hand of the Lord, and we'll be glorified in Him. What a wonderful Savior.